We're in conversations with the Army right now, and the Army did it's readily available, you can look it up, did a research project with Duke University and West Point, and they wanted to see how much information they could get on a veteran. And I think the cost, don't quote me on this, but I think it was 12 cents per vet to get a massive amount of their personal information. And it's like, again, as a society, Is that okay?
Yeah,
right. Can we, unintended consequences, how could that be used to potentially manipulate those individuals and, you know, put them at risk? What if there's people that don't like that you served in Desert Storm or, you know, the Afghanistan conflict, or, you know, you're kind of exposed. So, again, as a society, we have to decide.
Right.
Should that be out there?
So we'll try to keep good posture.
It's very important.
The whole time. I'm going to have scoliosis.
I was walking into the hotel the other day, and I was looking to the side at my, like, profile, and I was like, dude, I'm getting that thing. Do you know what it's from?
What?
It's from our phones.
Oh my God.
You'll see it in kids too already because they're always looking down at their screen.
Yeah.
It makes your neck right there. I was like, suck. I got to
get back. Oh my gosh, man. Kids. We were just talking, Angie and I, before, like, because I'm hopping on a plane right after this. Angie and I were talking about, you know, screen time with our kids, you know. And I had like, I had a system in place for like all my kids, and you know, it was pretty good, right? And it was a little bit of a hack, but it was pretty cool. They would ask for things, and I was like, if you've done your first things, I'm like, okay, then I'll enable some time. But the thing is like, Angie, like when we're like closing like big deals, she'd be like calling me, like, dude, I can't talk right now. And they would be like, Declan needs screen time for like, and then, like, I get all these angry texts, Dad, just Dad, and I'm like, dude, what is it? And I'm like, Angie, can you do this? So Angie and I literally were just going over, okay, here's the system.
And then your security camera alerts are going off at the same time, and you're like,
dude,
postpone these, turn this off.
Well,
it's like, I will get the... Dad, I have a daughter that's autistic, and if you know anything about autism, like, they're very focused on one thing, and she will not quit. And so she'll have something that she wants to talk to you about. She will literally call you five times in a row, and you're like, hey, I'm in a meeting. And she's like, no, answer right now. Keep calling, keep calling. And then the texts just go, too, and you're like, I love you so much. And I'll send her the love, the heart thing. Yeah. And she's like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that I can have this? And it's like, I'm at work. I know you're at work, but please respond right now. And it's like, oh, Heavenly Father put this child in my life so that I could learn patience. This is for me. This is not for her.
Yeah.
So let me just step back.
Stay
calm.
Oh my gosh, dude. So I cannot. Yeah, screen time. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I was training Angie on that today. And that's, you know, hey, everybody, this is a Paramify podcast. Yeah, man. Dude, how do we say your last name, Tommy?
Garden Hoe and Shower. Hoe Shower.
Hoe Shower. Tommy Hoshower, because I was going to botch it. And I was about to say it. This is how we roll here. With Tommy. So I met Tommy on a plane. We were going to RSA?
RSA last year, yeah.
That's right. And I'm, you know, I'm chatty.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'm actually an extrovert. I feel like people always say that. Like, I'm actually an introvert. And like, oh, like, I didn't know that. Everybody always says that. It feels like it's in vogue to say I'm an introvert. Wow.
My typical style on a plane is like, this is Tommy time, where my alerts don't come through, put on the Bose headphones and watch some sort of uplifting show and zone out. Because it seems like every time you try and work on a plane, it's like, the Wi-Fi doesn't work, like getting 100%. Connected. Yeah. I've tried it for years and I've just given up. So it's like, hey, this is going to be my Tommy time. I'm just going to break away. But you were sitting over there, and the gal that was sitting next to us was really interesting too. And
yeah,
I think you were like behind me and to the right. Weren't you in the window seat and I was in the aisle, but you were.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a shift. There was a shift, and someone's like, yeah. All right, I do not want to be beyond. And he's like, let's just shift. So yes! Somebody shifted.
He traded. He's like, hey, do you want to be here? Because you guys, like, we were talking like this.
That's
the whole
right.
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, seize the opportunity. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a good flight.
Tommy
like,
time.
I will allow you to interrupt Tommy time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But man, what you were talking about, like, I mean, Tommy is like super interesting to talk to. So you're doing amazing things. And so we're going to talk about really important things today. But I don't know. Let's talk about screen time. Like, because that's actually really important for me right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting angry texts from my kids, dad, like, you know, during my, and so I'm training my wife on how to manage, you know, the system.
Yeah.
You know, it's between like Xbox and Switch and PlayStation and
all
like,
the
and then just pure internet, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
Sucks. But like, yeah, it's a big problem. Like, so we're talking about Hunchback, but like our kids and screen time, man, dang, right?
Screen time is huge. So, I'm actually part of an organization. It's suicide prevention called You Got This.
Right.
And one of the, in what Nate Randell, Gab CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. Also put something out the other day. And there's a direct correlation between suicide with our young kids and screen time. So I would have to look it up, but I believe I was looking at one of his LinkedIn posts, and he goes, 72% of 12-year-olds have a phone, have a device. 72% of 12-year-olds think about committing suicide. Like, there is a direct correlation, and that's what we know, being on the suicide prevention board that I'm on as well, is like, these technology companies are data mining everything from being on your Xbox and playing live. And they know how long you're on. They know what games you're playing. And it's actually part of the reason that I moved over to Delete Me is I was, I've been in the technology industry long enough that I'm going, holy cow, like they're collecting information constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's unintended consequences by having that information.
Absolutely.
I don't think it was originally supposed to be malicious. It was supposed to be, hey, you like X product.
Let's
feed
connect you
to these
Let's
other
say,
products.
Hey, you'll love a one wheel, Kenny. You grew up snowboarding and surfing and skating. You're male. You have kids, man. You're going to love one wheel. And I remember thinking, I'm like, man, I actually like Facebook ads, because I'm like, totally. Yeah. I never bought a one wheel still. I should have, because I still think I would like it. But I guess I didn't buy. I stopped seeing them on Facebook. I'm sure I'll start seeing them right now. Right.
Let's see. Right now,
we're all going to get one wheel ads, and we've all experienced it, right? We know that it's not a farce. Like, we know that they're listening.
Yeah.
But all of that is to just, those apps are free.
Mm-hmm.
It's to gain your time and attention.
Right.
And
you're the product.
We know that anything in large quantities is not healthy.
Right.
And so, I don't quote me on the statistic, but I think the average American is spending 3 to 6 hours on social media per day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's insane. Right. And, it's just, it's a tough spot, but like, your private information, I go back and forth on this. Right. I go back and forth on it because I've never had an issue where I've been like my life has been threatened. But I have been targeted for things that I believe. Right.
Yeah.
By people who don't agree with me. And I'm like, dude, how does this dude have my information anyway? Right.
Yeah. It's because it's just so readily available. You know, before I was at Delete Me, I was at another company that could aggregate all of your social media information. We call it unstructured data.
Mm-hmm.
So social media, news outlets, anything that you're connected to, and anything from the first tweet back when it was Twitter to the last tweet, now we're X, right?
But to have organizations have access to all of that information,
you know, it just, it didn't seem right to me. And again, yeah. I think it wasn't intended to be malicious, but we're mm-hmm. seeing this in higher education. As we were chatting outside, I'm working with a lot of universities, and everything that these students, professors, and universities are putting out there based on the political unrest that we're seeing overseas, somebody's going and collecting all that, and they put it on a website called Canary Mission. And to see that some organization is literally tracking every publication that you make, that's a little bit unsettling to me.
It's right.
Like, absolutely. Holy yeah. cow.
You have a list of really good looking people, right? That they've got their whole life ahead of them. And then professors that just happen to have, you know what, a super extreme view one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so guess what? You know, I mean, we're always, we're going to offend somebody because
at
we
some
take a
point,
stance.
We're right, all humans, right? Right?
We're going to offend. Yeah. Like, and honestly, you know, when you declare something, when you're creating a business, you're declaring, hey, things need to change. And so you're absolutely offending somebody. Otherwise, you're not really making money, right? You know, if you don't yeah. offend somebody, right? So it's like, you know, we have our beliefs and our stance, and we're trying to find our people, right? And so it's crazy, you know, and kids, we have crazy ideas. I have crazy ideas now, probably. No one wants to go into my brain, right? You know, and I try to guard it, right? Because I'm like, you know how I feel about, like, yeah, never mind. Yeah. But kids, they can be influenced by a professor that has a crazy idea, and then they're like, yeah, you know what? Yeah. And then it's like this cathartic response, and then they go and say stuff, and they're like, yeah, I'm all, you know, and they have their crazy years, but that's
the way that I look at it is, like, at one time I was a college student, and I was an unconventional college student. So I went to university later in life. I was only the second person in my family to graduate college. And I go, yeah, I said and did some pretty stupid stuff that I probably wouldn't want the whole country being able to track.
Yeah. Me, and, like a couple hours life, ago, right? Couple hours ago.
We're all learning.
Right.
Yeah. And so, the availability of all of that information just, you know, is a question mark for me. Is that the way it should be?
Right.
Right.
It gets really crazy. So what I'm really excited about with, you know, with what Delete Me is doing, I mean, it's just a really important work. You have federal judges, right? Judges that, you know, make a judgment, and then they're fearing for their life. You know, if I judge one way or another, here's all this information that people have on me. They know exactly where I live.
Yep.
A few months ago, right? There was an incident in Maryland.
Yep. Maryland judge, and it was just a case based upon custody. And actually, that's where we see the most violence is in custody in the juvenile courts. But as a society, we've got to look and go, hey, what happens if the judicial branch, the justice system goes and it can be influenced by special interest or, you know, voices, minority voices, majority voices? You know what I mean? The rule of law somehow goes out the window because these judges are being threatened and harassed. And I have a close friend that's a judge in the county that I live in. And I remember when I was looking at going to this job, I asked him, hey, what do you think of this product? What do you think of this? And I remember to this day, his reply was, I don't worry about myself. I can manage myself. I kind of signed up for this. I knew some of the risks going along. My fear is my family.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want someone showing up at my house or at my kids' schools. They didn't sign up for this.
Right.
And so that's where I go, okay, look, this personal information
is it right that it's out there, or should we be doing something to redact that? And this is something that society is going to have to agree upon, is in the public sector, in our judicial branch, in our executive branch, in our legislative branch.
Yeah.
Is it going to be acceptable to have channels of communication that are private channels? Can I text you at 11 o'clock at night and tell you I know you,
I got
where
a
you
bat.
Live? Even just like, I know where you live.
I know where you live. Yeah. You're like, oh,
I know where you're like, I know where your kids go to school, or something like that, or show up and protest at homes. Society is going to have to decide, is this what we want to allow, or should those channels of communication be through the public channels, which is the public email, the .gov email, the government phone number? And these are really hard societal questions that we're going to have to deal with. And I see it from both sides. But yeah, for me, it just kind of hits a little bit more home when there's somebody that you ride bikes with in the summer almost every single morning, and you go, man, I sure wouldn't want to see somebody harassing him outside of his home and harassing his kids.
Right. There's someone who goes to a driveway because, you know, just meets them in the driveway and guns them down, right? Yeah. Because
of a judgment.
Because of a judgment that was probably just, I mean, most of the time, like, judges are going to rule correctly, right? And then what if not, right?
Yeah.
What if they're adversely affected because they fear for their life, and like, what would you do, right?
Again,
if someone's holding your,
like,
daughter or something like that, right?
Yeah. What is society going to allow? We have appeal processes. We have all of these things in place.
Right.
Is that where we should be having these conversations and these arguments, is through that justice system, or should it be at the doorstep? And that's just something society is going to have to answer to. And I see it on both sides. You know, email your congressman, phone call your congressman. Well, sometimes they don't really pick up and they don't ever read those emails. So I can see that frustration, but what's the answer? What's the solution to that? I don't profess to have it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's actually really heavy stuff, honestly.
Absolutely.
It's really crazy, but I'm excited for what you guys are doing. It's an amazing problem to solve, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
And then, so we've talked a lot about the problem, which is incredibly difficult and a very dangerous thing. Like, people's lives are at stake constantly nowadays. How is Delete Me helping solve this problem?
Yeah. So the real issue that we're trying to solve is you have all of these companies, which we call data brokers, that are collecting your information at every single online interaction, the app that you use. Even there's a retail organization that was sued a little while ago because they could detect that a female was pregnant before they could, based upon their shopping habits.
Mm-hmm.
So you could Google that and you'll look it up and you'll see which retailer that was. And so what we're trying to say is, hey, look, this $340+ billion business of selling our personal information, maybe not a good idea. It's actually scheduled to grow to be $550 billion in the next 2 years. Those are big numbers of just selling your information.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the unintended consequences? Well, what if I Google search cancer treatment because my mother-in-law or my dad has cancer, but then the insurance company that I'm using finds out that I'm Googling cancer treatment?
Yeah.
All of a sudden my rates change, or this, that, and the other. Well, I don't have cancer. It's my father-in-law or my father or my sister-in-law. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's all of these unintended consequences, but all of that information is available.
Yeah.
Like
private information.
Yes.
Right. If a girl, you know, gets a pregnancy test.
And right.
Then, like, and then Target sends all this, like, you know, specialized stuff to the house that says,
all,
like,
these
wait,
coupons.
Wait, why is Kinley getting, like, I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, what is going on? Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's rough.
And I mean, think about the last purchases that you've made. Try and buy something without giving a phone number, an email, a zip code.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, all I want you to do is fix this issue in my house. Why do you need all this information?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to buy some Oreos.
I just want some Oreos. No,
put in your rewards number. Put in this. Well, why do you want that? Well, it's a revenue stream for the real retailer industry.
Yeah. Are you guys big Oreos at the... at the house, sure.
So the reason I actually said Oreos, it was recently my 20-year anniversary, and one of my colleagues
congratulations.
Sent me.
Congrats,
thank you.
Yeah.
My wife is very patient and beautiful and kind and loving.
Way to go. Mine too. Yeah.
One of my colleagues sent me Oreos with our faces on it. So it was hilarious. It was just top of mind. Like,
nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she had to input a whole lot of data to get that to my house.
I'm a sucker for the golden Oreos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have like controversial opinions on chocolate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're bold.
They're bold, yeah. I like chocolate. Yeah. Okay, I'll eat it if it's there, but I never like buy it. I'm never like, I'll get the chocolate shake at In-N-Out for sure versus the others.
Yeah. Oh, but the strawberry shake is superior. I'm
nah,
sorry.
Vanilla,
yeah,
vanilla.
I actually got strawberry for a while, right? I'll do that too. But if you put chocolate chips in my cookie, I will go belligerent. I'll still eat the cookie, but I don't like chocolate chips.
I don't like a lot of chocolate chips. The ratio has to be balanced. It's like,
oh, dude, like
the
Costco
chocolate
one?
Chips are touching each other, right? It's like too much, man.
Like the Costco yeah. one? Like,
you know, my wife just bought that last week. She didn't let me try it. It was devoured by the time we connected again. And I didn't get to try it. But okay, she wasn't very impressed, which is sad because I'm a big Costco fan.
No, dude. Crumble. I don't know. If it's melty, I'm like, all right. But don't put chocolate chips in my shake. Don't put chocolate chips in the cookie. Sorry.
It's
I
bold.
Said it. It's
That's
bold,
bold
right?
man.
But I should have yeah. the right to that opinion, and I should not get
you,
on some list
you know what?
Of anti.
Exactly.
You know,
some right? data brokers got that now, and you're going to be harassed.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Like, dude.
Who doesn't want chocolate chips in their cookie?
Yeah, we're coming for them, man. Yeah, for real. Now, privacy, like, for me, yeah, privacy was not really a big deal until you see these things. People just don't know. People don't realize we've never had, a Holocaust here in America, right? Versus why did GDPR come out? Well, because there's some things that happened, right? Because of your religion, because of your race, because of your orientation, whatever it is.
Political views. All that stuff.
Right? Okay. There was actual like genocide and extermination, not just, And people see why, like, hey, I need to protect this stuff. It's a little bit more close to the surface. Not that long ago. I mean, some people's grandpas still, were part of that awful, the Holocaust, right? And so for us, it's how do we educate Americans in particular on this, right? What is the manner that we're going to do it? You don't want to be like, listen, guys, we shouldn't be doing this. You don't want to be like that. How do you make it so it's consumable?
Yeah, the challenging part is people don't understand when I give up my email, when I give up my cell phone number to the retail, the rewards program, what's on the back end of it. So we work with, I'm over the public sector for Delete Me. So it's executive, judicial branch, all of these organizations. And when we sell a enterprise account and we're bringing in a large group of people, they'll often be like, oh, I don't do social media. It's like, okay, that's fantastic. Great. But you have a phone and you search things on the internet. That's where the data brokers live. And they're like, oh, I had no clue. I didn't know what the accept reject cookies that now is mandated to pop up on your website. I didn't fully understand what that means. I mean, I came from the data collection world of surveys. And, one of our big things was, hey, we don't anonymize and aggregate and sell your data.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
shortly thereafter, what did we do? We anonymized, aggregated, and sold your data. So it's like, hey, even the survey that I fill out for the company that I love and I'm trying to give them feedback, the survey company is anonymizing, aggregating, analyzing, and selling the data. So it's like it's everywhere. And so educating organizations and individuals that, like, look, this is a $340 billion business. Those are big numbers.
Right.
And it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that what we're going to allow in a society?
Right.
And a lot of people just don't even know that it's happening.
They One just the, don't know. Right. Yep. So you have challenges like with marketing and getting that message out, right? Because people don't want food until they're hungry. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just don't know. We're ignorant. And it's the same thing for a lot of, you know, we face the same thing. Right?
Yeah.
We're trying to explain, why do you need us?
What was Google's, and I think it still is their like value or mission is do no evil, right?
Not anymore, I don't think.
But there's all of these unintended consequences on the back end of having all of this information. And again, I don't think it started out malicious, but it's like, holy cow, yeah, maybe an organization shouldn't know what every single person is searching. I remember I was trying to figure out what some of my kids were looking at on the internet. And I called my service provider and I was like, hey, I know you guys keep this data. Could you tell me what my kids were looking on in the last 2 hours? He's like, well, we have that, but we can't share it with you. Wait, what do you mean you can't share it with me? It's like, yeah, laws don't allow us to share that. And so it's really weird that organizations can have this data, but sometimes we can't as well.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they literally have the power. And so they with the power, they make the money.
Yep.
Right. They make the money. And then with all of that money, they can afford all this virtue signaling. And they can say how great they are because they don't have the fear of retribution because they're just so powerful. Right. And so they can take whatever stance they want. And if you don't agree with it, it doesn't matter. It's really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. I have big issues with that, you know, personally.
I have issues with, I don't know who has this information and who they're selling it to.
Right.
That's my issue, is we don't even know where it's going.
Right.
And I think, I remember when I was in college, we were all worried that we were going to have barcodes or a chip in our arm and we're going to track us and this, that, and the other. And it's like, we're already there. We willingly put it in our pocket.
It's a wearable or it's a watch. Yeah. Or it's like, now it's going to be in, you can just put the whole thing on.
GPS knows where I'm at of all times. They know where I'm shopping if you take the data from the data brokers on where I went and bought something because I put in my phone number or my email and you put all of those things together and it's already there. So
yeah. Neuralink does seem pretty cool though.
It could be cool,
but
I don't know what that is.
Neuralink.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk about craziness with that, right? Yeah. Something in our mind that could potentially be hacked to force us to do things that we normally wouldn't.
Yeah. Reinhard Lane. What was it from the Manchurian Candidate, right? What was the key word for Manchurian Candidate? I can't remember. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did either.
You never saw the Manchurian Candidate?
No.
Well, I think I don't know.
I've seen Minority Report, but I haven't seen that one.
No, the Manchurian Candidate. Where is it? Right. Like, it's like... I'm going to look it up while you guys talk about the next thing.
Do you know with Neuralink, supposedly they did their first like human trial recently?
I did. I saw that.
Yeah.
So crazy. I mean, look, again, I think it's nothing malicious, right? We're trying to allow people to do things that their bodies can't do. But what's the unintended consequence that's potentially there now?
Yeah.
I think it's like anything. And, you know, as we press the limits on things, you know, technology wise innovation in certain areas, you know, I'm old enough that what was the first sheep that was cloned? We're like, holy cow, they're going to be cloning people. We can clone a sheep. You know, there's all of these things that we're doing that we go, okay, should we be doing this? What is society going to allow and what are we going to agree on?
Yeah.
It's, dude, it's always changing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up the trigger phrase for mentoring candidate. It just, it's super important.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
I mean, even one of the things that we're running into, we support a lot of the judicial branch. We just signed a Utah on courts, and I think they became our 11th or 12th state that we're servicing.
Yeah.
And AI is a huge issue because you can take a judge's previous judgments and history and you can use AI to predict the outcome of the case. Probably not a good idea. Now, you know, they've always say, hey, let's go judge shopping and get the right one. If AI could really accomplish that, you would really know who you want your case to sit with and maybe even persuade or change outcomes and things like that. So
Minority Report.
That's wild.
All the way.
Change.
Oh, yeah.
Technology, innovation.
Mentoring candidate, all that stuff, man. So you got into sales like kind of different. Your path was different.
Yes.
My path was different too, but your path.
Non-traditional is the way that I put it. Yeah. I was a part owner of a Gandolfo's, which is a
man.
Utah fan favorite.
The Bronx barbecue was my go-to. How do you make that?
It's roast beef, barbecue sauce, onion, and then you would
butter.
Cheddar cheese and butter. And then you would warm up the meat and cheese in the unfortunately it was the microwave. But it was still good.
But you put it in the parchment paper.
Yeah.
And then you just like let it.
And then you put it on the cold bun and yeah, it was
the
good
cold
stuff.
Lettuce. Oh man, so good.
Yeah, I spent many days in the University Center Street basement. I think it also had the first elevator in Utah County. In there as well, and it was pretty creepy little elevator.
Yeah, it's pretty sketch for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But so it was all good.
But spent some time down there, and it was fun. At the time, it was the fastest growing restaurant in Utah, and, you know, learned a lot. Very grateful for the opportunity that was afforded to me. So,
what was your favorite sandwich there?
Do you remember? Urban Cowboy by far.
Okay.
I see some head nodding.
I think I'm gonna go find. Is there a Gandolfo's like close here?
So Tad Tidwell, who was one of the original managers, he still owns his, and his are in Pleasant Grove and AF, and those ones are still running.
Okay, man.
I'm gonna have to go. Yeah. I've never been.
I'm going to PG today. On the way, I'm gonna go straight from here. I'm gonna ditch the sales call.
There you go.
Get a Gandolfo's before I go.
The Urban Cowboy, it's got to be at least like 3,500 calories.
Yes.
It's nice. Chicken, turkey,
yes.
Cream cheese of all things, and I believe it's pepper jack cheese and barbecue sauce. So like, not the healthiest ingredients, but it tastes good going down.
Oh man, I'm going for it, dude. I don't care.
So yeah,
awesome.
I did that for a bit, and then I married into a family that's very pro Costco. So my father-in-law was best friends with Jim Sinegal, the founder.
Oh, okay.
Oh wow.
Of Costco, and had he had $3,500 back in the day, I probably would have never married my wife because he would have invested in Costco, and they would have been multi millionaires.
Yeah, they would have been fine.
But. Jim was always really good to their family, and so a lot of the family members worked there. So when I married my wife, it was like, hey, this is the family tradition. You go work at Costco. And so it's like, whoa, let's do it.
And you do that? Costco? I mean, Costco's pretty great. Like, I mean, they did mess up on the cookie. But they had the hot dog. Oh, they also terminated the ice cream. Do you remember,
dude,
that?
The dipped ice creams were so good, but it was too labor intensive.
Was it?
Yeah,
just bad for the bottom line.
You know, so the reason that I went to Costco is back in the day. Again, I'm going to date myself. I think the starting wage was $10 an hour plus benefits and stuff, which was really good for somebody that was going to college or right out of college. You know, it wasn't a bad wage. And
right.
The benefits, I think I remember looking at my W-2 and the benefits were valued more than what I actually made salary-wise for the year. And so being a newly married person with a kid on the way, it was like, yeah, this okay, I'll follow the family tradition. So I did my stint there, and I'm an avid cyclist, and one of my buddies is was at a tech company, you know, one of the top tech companies out here. Qualtrics, and he's like, hey, you're one of the most competitive people I know. I might get a little competitive on the bike, and you know, it makes it more fun, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you should come work for me. He was the supervisor for the public sector team, and he's like, I think you'd do well. We're a startup within a startup. So Qualtrics is kind of getting off the ground, and then we've started this public sector thing. And I was like, dude, I've never sold technology. I like government, but I don't know it. This is a great idea. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Nice. And it was fun. I mean, the education that I got there was amazing. Like, Ryan Smith is a genius. I mean, you see everything he kind of touches in the state of Utah kind of turns to gold. And I've worked for a handful of other technology companies, and in the sales process, the sales methodology, and the training, it's been a major accelerant to my career. So super grateful for that opportunity. And my buddy that dragged me over there when I had no idea, I remember going through training, I was like, this is worse than college finals. Like, this is so much to ingest. Yeah. This is so bad. But you got through it, and you failed fast is what we would say. And and you learn. So
that's cool.
It's good times.
And then you went to Sprinklr, and then –
yeah, so couple little jumps in between there. But, yeah, I was offered a job at Sprinklr to be the VP of their public sector team and, you know, kind of stand it up from ground up. And that's literally what we did at Qualtrics, too. And so just took all the great things I learned there and implement them over at Sprinklr. And we had a good run, you know.
And then you went to public sector where you are now. So what are, like, the biggest challenges of getting into public sector?
Yeah. Right? Like, you know, that's a really good question.
There's a lot of them, right? Some of the ones that give you heartache.
The biggest issue is procurement, and then also, like, why we're in conversations with you is the security side of things, which is vitally necessary, but being able to do business in the public sector and make it so that organizations can actually buy you is really challenging until you have those reseller contracts and things like that in place. It's tough. You
know, right.
It's a competitive space, and no one wants to go to an RFP, and I sure the heck don't want to respond to an RFP. And so if you don't have those vehicles to procure, it makes things challenging. But also the security side for sure.
Right.
Especially as you look to scale and you do bigger things, you know.
Right.
It's not just, hey, we're going to cover a couple hundred judges in a state. It's like, we want to cover every single government employee in a state, or in the federal space we want to cover every single Army veteran or everyone that's ever served in the Army.
So yeah, integrity controls become really important to make sure that, you know, you've done this completely. You've gotten this job completely done, and you're certifying, yes, this is done.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense.
I mean, we're in conversations with the Army right now, and the Army did, it's readily available. You can look it up, did a research project with Duke University and West Point, and they wanted to see how much information they could get on a veteran. I think the cost, don't quote me on this, but I think it was 12 cents per vet to get a massive amount of their personal information. And it's like, again, as a society, Is that okay?
Is that okay?
Yeah, can right. can we unintended consequences? How could that be used to potentially manipulate those individuals and, you know, put them at risk? What if there's people that don't like that you served in Desert Storm or you know, the Afghanistan conflict, or, you know, you're kind of exposed. So again, as a society, we have to decide,
right,
should that be out there?
This is big. This is all amazing, Tommy. We really appreciate you coming on this on this podcast. This is probably one of our more important ones that we've done. I'm super excited for what you guys are doing at Delete Me. How do people learn more about what you guys are doing?
So on the public sector side, which I'm a whole in front of, you know, feel free to look me up on LinkedIn or anything like that, or visit our website, joindeleteme.com. You can go there. What's interesting is we've got two sides of the organization. We've got the business side, which I run the public sector piece of, and we've got the consumer side. And I think February was our best month ever on the consumer side, post-COVID, where everybody was online. I think people are starting to wake up and go, hey, maybe it's not great that everybody knows what I ate for lunch yesterday or today. Maybe I won't take that pic and make that public anymore. maybe it's not good that everybody has pictures of my kids, especially with AI out there now. And so I think people are kind of waking up as, even on the consumer side, we had the best month we've ever had.
That's awesome. I'm actually not going to Gandalfo's after this. I was just saying it'd be fun. Could you imagine if I did? Man, you're awesome. Thanks so much, Tommy, for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thank you so much. This was fun.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Good times.